It is time for Children's Church. Who's going to be with? Oh, Angie's with children this morning. Y'all follow Miss Angie. Those of you who are staying with us in the sanctuary, please turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Those of you who are watching via live stream, please, right now, I'm gonna step back. I'm not going to say another word until you check in. You tell people, so look, you know, I'm here. I'm here in the service, and I am, you know, where you're from. You let us know that you're on there, please, right now. Amen. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 55, Isaiah chapter 55. Last week we talked about being tired, and I hope y'all got rested. Did y'all get rested this past week? Was this a restful week? I hope it was. We talked about being tired, and then we read what Paul wrote in Galatians 6 concerning a Christian being tired. Paul told us that we should not be deceived, meaning that we can be deceived. Sometimes very easily we can be deceived. We learned that men may mock God, but not ever in this world is God going to let man continue to mock him. He sees everything that takes place, and he knows the heart of every single man. Well, we learn that we as believers are either sowing to the flesh or we're sowing to the spirit, and we will reap what we sow. We saw that in Galatians 6. Paul told us last week that we should not grow tired in doing good. We should not grow tired in doing good. That we will reap in proper time if we will not give up. That's what we do when we get tired, right? We just sit down, we give up. We give up. Church, we learn that we should never give up no matter how tired we are of the things that are taking place around us. Today, we're going to hear a plea from an Old Testament prophet. An Old Testament prophet. And if y'all have read the book of Isaiah, y'all know Isaiah didn't play. He didn't play. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to start in verse 1. He says, come everyone. Y'all underline that in your Bible. Everyone. Everyone who is thirsty. Come to the waters. And you without money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money on what is not food? And your wages on what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. Pay attention and come to me. Listen so that you will live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. The promise is assured to David, since I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples, so that you will summon a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you will run to you. For the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, has glorified you. Listen to what he says in verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again asking forgiveness of our sins. Asking you to forgive us where we fail you, Lord. And God, I pray that your name will be glorified right now because of who you are. Because who you've always been, Lord. I pray that you'd settle our hearts, wake us and shake us, and help us to be attentive, not to me, Lord, but to your word and the word that you spoke through the prophet Isaiah. And the words that you spoke to me this past week. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said,
amen.
Amen. Before we get into the message, I just want to remind y'all of who it is that Isaiah is writing these words to. He's writing these words to the Hebrew children. And the Hebrew children were famous for coming to God and worshiping God and serving God. And then two chapters later, they're in the valley serving a false god. They had a rocky relationship, and they were God's chosen people. God was always sending prophet after prophet, trying to get his people to come back to him. As a matter of fact, as y'all remember when we did Journey Through the Bible, if you could hold your Bible up to your ear to the Old Testament, and it would speak to you, what is it, church, that the Old Testament would say to you? Return to me. Return to me. As you read over and over and over again in the Old Testament, God is trying to call his people back to himself. Do you think that's a plea that's significant in the day that we live in? Is it an important message that the people in our world need to hear as well? Oh yeah, if there's ever been a time, where the people of God who call themselves Christians, who call themselves children of God, if there's ever been a time, Miss Dale, where we've needed to return to God, now is the time. Now is the time that we should return to God. Church, this morning we hear a plea from the prophet Isaiah that was given to him by the Lord himself. Now, we need to understand here that Isaiah did not have any personal agendas. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever turned on the TV and you've heard preachers preach and you've listened to them for about 5 minutes and you turn it off and you're just like, that dude's got some sort of agenda he's trying to push. Now, have y'all ever gotten that and just turned it? I mean, I've sat and listened to some preachers sometimes, and I mean, just as soon as it comes on, he's talking about an airplane. He needs an airplane. God has prophesied to him that he needs an airplane. God's never done that. I mean, I just... Y'all know what I'm talking about? Isaiah had no personal agendas. He did not have any ambitions to do any more than who he was. He had no desire to tickle the ears of man. Isaiah had one desire, and that desire was to speak the words to the people that were spoken to him. This morning, the prophet speaks to the people words that may be considered the most important of that day. These verses, what we just read this morning, were entitled, Come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Come to the Lord. If I were to ask people on the street what it means to come to the Lord, I'm quite sure that I'd get a wide array of opinions. As a matter of fact, church, I did this very thing. When I was a youth pastor in Greer, South Carolina, my pastor was preparing a message, and he asked me if I would video, do you remember this? Video people and asking them that very question. What do you have to do to go to heaven? Y'all should have heard some of the responses I got. Now, I want to be completely transparent with you here. Justin, I didn't just walk out on the streets. I went to North Greenville Bible College and ask some of the North Greenville College students, what do you have to do to go to heaven? And these are some of the comments that I got. These are the answers. Well, if you follow the Ten Commandments and what God says, and I'm just sitting there, Here's another one. If you live a good life and you're good to people and you don't lie and you don't cheat and you don't steal, and y'all listen, it was all I could do. I was a youth pastor then. I wasn't a preacher, but it was all I could do to say, hold on a second. Listen, buddy, you've got this all wrong. You've got this all wrong. If I follow the law to the letter, no, that's not going to work either. There's only one way, church, one way, and that's through Jesus. Now, what it means to come to the Lord scripturally is that you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You come to realize that your life is not what it should be. You're missing something and may not be able to figure it out, put your finger on it at the time. But when you realize this, it starts you on a journey, a quest, a mission to seek out something, and that something is the truth. And when you've exhausted every possible solution and come face to face with a man named Jesus, God will open your eyes to the truth of who he is and who he's always been. Each man will search for the truth, and the truth is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. I was on that journey. I was on that journey. I hope that each one of y'all can go back in time and remember a time when you were on that journey. And I stood in the woods of TK, South Carolina, and I looked up through the sky, and I said, if you're real, I want you to prove to me that you're real. And that's when I learned what Romans 1:20 is all about. God revealed himself through his creation, time and time and time again. He's still revealing himself, church. You know, I asked him that question back in 1988, almost 89, and to this day, he is still revealing himself to me. That's God. That's amazing. I just like everyone in here, have either been in a place in your life where you've searched for this truth, you have found the truth, or if you've accepted a lie as the truth. That's where each one of us is this morning. You're either searching for the truth, you have found the truth, or you've accepted a lie instead of the truth. And as we look at Americans today, listen, it's easy to look and say, I mean, we're easily deceived. We saw that last week. And there's so many lies that we've accepted as truth, and we're walking around today. It's just mind-numbing. Church, when you're searching for the truth, I want you to understand something. Nothing will satisfy your soul until you find the truth. Nothing will. When you are truly searching for truth, nothing's going to satisfy but the truth. When you find the truth, nothing will satisfy you but telling others the truth. And when you have accepted a lie as the truth, you will try your very best to shut out the light of God that surrounds you every single day of your life. When you're searching for the truth, if you want the truth, you're going to find it. But if you want a lie, you're going to find a lie. There's a person that I have been dealing with for over 2 years here at the church. They'll come by and they want to ask you scriptural questions, but they don't want the truth. They want to be able to substantiate how they feel their lie is the truth through scripture. And you can't do it. You cannot do it. Well, and this is what they've said. Well, you know, man wrote scripture, not God. I'm just like, how powerful do you think God is? How powerful? Well, he has limitless power. Well, how much power does he have to drain from himself to have somebody write his word? I mean, that's easy, right? Church, this morning, we're going to consider the person who is searching. That's what we're looking at this morning. We're going to consider the person who is searching, looking. This person is on a mission to find out the true meaning of life. They have a genuine determination to know the real reason they were born, why they're alive, and what their purpose is here on this earth. Now, we were all once this person. Remember the person you once were as you were hearing the words of as you hear the words of the prophet this morning. Do you remember searching? Do you remember asking the questions? I don't know who you asked. I don't know who it was that you had faith in, that you saw God living in their lives, and you asked that person these pertinent questions. But church, we can find all the answers this morning in our scripture. Well, what does our scripture say this morning? The first thing we see in our scripture this morning is an open invitation. And that invitation is to who? Everyone. We could almost line this scripture up side by side with another scripture in the New Testament. Y'all know what it is? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, listen, I am whosoever. God did not just, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. Now listen, do you understand what this means, what this scripture, this invitation means, that everyone, it's written for everyone. Church, we live in a world of exclusion. Y'all know that, right?
We live in a world of exclusion where we pick people to be a part of our team who closely resemble who we are. We want people who look like us and act like us and dress like us and smell like us. That's who we want, right? Nobody else. Brother Kyle, you see, you're trying to be funny. You're talking about we want somebody who smells like us. Not too long ago, we had people complaining because a person was coming in the church and he smelled funny. Y'all remember that? But this scripture does not exclude anyone. This scripture is for everyone who is thirsty. Understand, now listen to this. This is good. Thirst is a sensation that originates in the hypothalamus. Thank you, Miss Desi. When you're thirsty, it originates in your hypothalamus. The thirst center in the hypothalamus is stimulated when there is lack of water in your body or when the temperature of your body reaches a certain temperature. When this happens, the brain sends out signals to your body to seek out fluids. Well, what we see this morning is an invitation to easily quench the desire that will stop, that will not stop until it's satisfied. Do you see, when you really want the truth, when you really want the truth, you're going to seek everything you possibly can to find that truth. As I look across the landscape of the world in America today, I don't think people want the truth anymore. It's like that old movie. They can't handle the truth. They don't want the truth. Well, why don't they want the truth? Because they want to live the way they want to live. They want to rectify the way they live. And it's getting worse and worse and worse, especially in America. It's mind-boggling. I mean, every day when I see certain things, and I don't watch the news, but I'll see things on social media, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I mean, I thought it can't get any worse than this, Gary. Surely somebody's not going to believe a lie worse than this right here. And then you open social media, and there it is right there in front of you. Right there. Well, what, Brother Kyle, can you give me an example? Sure, I'll give you an example. You ready? I am not opposed to wearing masks. I'm not. If I wasn't up here preaching and I was sitting in the congregation, I would probably be wearing a mask just because I want people to feel comfortable around me. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. That's fine. If you don't, that's fine. I'm not the mask police. Amen? I'm not. I am not the mask police. But understand this. Back in March, they said, if you wear a mask and you stay 6 feet away from each other, you should be fine. Right? That's what they said. Did the virus go away? I'm just checking. It didn't go away, right? And then they said, listen, we're going to close everything down for 14 days. We're 11 months into this thing. Did that 14 days work? The 14 days turned into 14 more days. That's 28 days. Did the 28 days work? No. I mean, 3 months. You separate. I mean, the only person I saw was Amy. That's not bad. Did the virus still spread? Every day, listen, every day you see something new. Listen, if you'll just do this, it'll be gone. And people are just like, oh God, praise God. Oh, look, this is it. Now they're telling you if you wear two masks, you're good. Am I lying? You know what it'll be next week? If you wear two masks and a gaiter, you'll be good. A gaiter, you know, one of those neck scarves? You'll be good. Listen, it's unbelievable the lies that are being told and are being accepted, and people are just, oh, boy, this is it. This is it. Church, listen, the Word of God is the Word of God. It's the truth, and people still will not believe the truth. Listen, what What Isaiah is saying in these first verses is this. He's saying, you've got a thirst. You don't have to look any further. Here's your answer. I can quench your thirst with the word of God. Listen to me. You don't have to seek any further. You don't have to look any further. You don't have to spend hours and days and months. Listen to me. God has sent me to tell you, you don't have to look any further. Church. Those of you who might be listening via internet, listen to me. Jesus is the way. You don't have to look any further. You don't have to thirst any longer because God's word tells us what each one of us needs to do to have eternal life. You know who makes everything so hard? Man. I mean, look, just look back since March to this day. Look at the craziness. Who has orchestrated all that? Well, we can point back to Satan, but who is Satan using? Man. Church, the truth is God's word. It's God's word. We don't have to look any further. Now, I want you to see how God makes this offer even more appealing. Look, you don't have to look any further. Here it is. But God, he sweetens the pot. Listen to what he says in 1b in verse 2. He says this. He says, come to the waters, and you without money, come and buy and eat. Come buy the wine and the milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money on what is not food? And your wages on what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me. Listen carefully to me, Isaiah says, and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. Pay attention and come to me. Listen so that you will live. Did you see the pot get sweeter there? Did y'all see it? First of all, Kim, he says, you don't have to look any further. You've got a thirst. Here's the answer. You don't have to look any further. And then he says something else. He says, this offer is free to everyone who comes. He's telling the people of that day to come and experience the truth of the Lord for free. Y'all know that's my favorite word, right? It's free. Free. Isaiah then asks a question. Why do you pay for something that does not satisfy? A better question is, why would you pass up what will satisfy for free and pay for something that doesn't satisfy you over and over and over again? This is free. This ain't gonna satisfy you, and it costs. Free is for me. This is going to cost you more than you've got in your pocket if you keep looking. And people are still looking. And it's costing them more and more and more every single day. And they're not willing to come to what's free because it seems too simple. Well, understand something, church. God does not make things complicated. He makes things simple. You know why? Because even the Harvard graduates are simple-minded. There was a guy that I grew up with. He was a Marine. He was a proud Marine. And I was scared of him. I really was. He was one of my dad's friends. And I'll never forget, about 6-8 months before he died, he had a massive heart attack. We were on his back deck, and he looked at me, and he says, I know that what you've got is what I need. But I'm not ready yet. I hope he found Jesus. I do. But see, he knew. He knew the free gift. He knew it. But he chose something else to satisfy him. Church, what are you satisfied in this morning? What is it that you're satisfied in this morning? We don't have to look any further, church. We don't. Listen to me. Evangelist Bill Stafford once said this. Listen, you might want to write this down. No one can stop you from walking with the Lord but you. Nothing can stop you from walking with, I don't care what you've done, who you are, nothing can stop you from walking with the Lord but you. But you. You know, listen, golly, I mean, we see this message this morning, Gary Page. You know, he's saying, if you're thirsty, here it is. You don't have to look any further. It's right here. And then he says, look, you know, if you're thirsty, here it's. And then he said, it's free. How can it get any better than that? Well, it does. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says this. He says, pay attention and come to me. Listen, so that you will live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Do you see that personal engagement? Come to me. I will make an everlasting covenant with the Southern Baptist Convention. Is that what the scripture says? I will make an everlasting covenant with just the Catholic Church, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Lutherans. Do you see any exclusivity there? No. It's personal. It's personal. He says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The promises assured to David. David. Y'all know the relationship that God and David had? Did you see what David did? Do you know he committed premeditated murder? Premeditated murder. And they still had a relationship after David came back and repented. That's what he wants with us, church. He says, since I have made him a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the peoples, so you will summon a nation that you do not know, and the nations who do not know you will run to you. For the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, has glorified you. You see, what he's making a promise to is this. He says, if you're looking, you can find it. It's right here. It's easy to find. Hey, listen, and it's free. And if you'll take me up on this, this free offer, if you'll take me up on this, I'm going to do something unbelievable in your life. This is what I'm going to do. Nations that you've never even heard of, you've never even heard their name, are going to be drawn to you to know the answers of who God is because of who I'm getting ready to put in you. They're going to be drawn to you. You've done nothing. Steve, all you've done is had a thirst, a little tickle in the back of your throat, and you've wanted to quench that thirst. You accept the free gift that God wants to give you, and God continually blesses you and blesses you and blesses you. And it's like you said a few minutes ago, are you perfect? No, you fail God every day. But he comes and calls to you over and over and over again. Just like the Hebrew children, return to me, return to me. Now we come to the verse that we need to sit down and listen to slowly again. We may even need to read it twice this morning. Church, listen to verse 6. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is near. Listen to that again. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is near. I don't understand. Seek the Lord where he may be found. I mean, he's all around us. You even said Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says God reveals himself through his creation. That's exactly right. Understand something, though. God is not obligated to come to you more than one time in your life. We're talking about God here. You don't call on him when you figure you've got enough time. You come to him when he comes to you. He's not obligated but one time for every man to come and call you to himself. Now, he is a God of love, mercy, and grace. And he called to me more than once, but he was only obligated to come one time. One time. Understand this. We need to understand this in light of what so many people think Scripture dictates to them. When you have taken your last breath on this earth, you will have no other chances. You will not be able to stand before God and say, look, God, hey, listen, I believe in you now. No, Scripture says now is the time. Seek him when he can be found. When you stand before him and say, oh, listen, oh, now I believe, that's not faith. Faith is knowing that God is real. He exists in your life and wants to be a part of your life without seeing him with your eyes. Listen, I believe God is more real to me than some of you sitting here in this church. Because he's done things for me you never could. And he continues to open my eyes daily. For those of you who may be still seeking the truth of who Jesus is, you need to seek the Lord while he can be found. For those who are still looking, it's right here this morning. You need to seek the Lord while he can still be found. For those of you who may be telling the world about the Jesus that you know, you ought to understand that our time is limited and their time is limited, where those who are seeking the truth will listen to what we have to say to them. Our time is limited. We need to get about serving God. If you are one who thinks that you found the truth and it's not Jesus, I would like to challenge you to pray to Jesus to reveal himself to you. If you are serious with him in all sincerity of prayer, he will reveal himself to you. He will. Understand something, Christian. When you accept Christ, you're not perfect. You don't become perfect. But I want you to understand something. If you're alive in Jesus and Jesus is alive in you, you can't just bottle it up and not tell the world. You can't. Let me tell you something that happened this past week. As many of you all know, my wife, she goes to the strip club every Thursday night. That just sounds crazy, doesn't it? Every time I say it, it sounds crazy. But she goes to the strip club and she ministers to the strippers. Y'all know Jesus loves strippers. Remember our scripture this morning? It says, come everyone who is thirsty. Right? So when she comes home, she's usually just, bubbling over. And I have to ask her, okay, what happened? What happened tonight? What happened tonight? Y'all want to hear what happened this past Thursday night? Y'all want to hear it? It doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you anyway. So they get to the strip club and they go in. It's four of you this week or three? Three. And they go in and they go straight into the dressing rooms where the ladies are. And they just talk to them. Talk to them. Love on them. They usually take something, some sort of gift. This past week, they took them face masks that say, what did they say? Hello, sunshine. Because they're the sunshine girls, right? So they're sitting in there, and they're talking, and two of the girls who were in there, and they're dancers, start an argument with each other by accident about church. About church. Did y'all hear that? They're talking about church. The sunshine girls are in there, and Amy looks at them, and they look, and they say, just don't say anything. Let it go. Let it go. One of the dancers said that she belonged to the sanctified church. Sanctified church. That means that you are a state of sinless perfection. And the other dancer said, you belong to a cult church. There's no such thing as a sanctified church. We are being sanctified daily to become who we ought to be in Jesus Christ. And Amy was just like, what? And then she started talking about Jesus, and she went through the whole plan of salvation in the dressing room of a strip club. Brother Kyle, what are you talking about this morning? That is the power of God that is in each one of us. Is it unbelievable to you that God, who is alive in the eyes of a dancer, but he doesn't prick your heart to do the same thing? When was the last time the Holy Spirit of God let you loose and tell the world the story that's inside of you? We are either searching for the truth, we have found the truth, or we've accepted the lie instead of the truth, and it's making our world dark. Where are you this morning? Church, God is not hiding from anybody. God is not hiding from anyone. His creation screams out to the world that He is alive. He does not hide from us, but all too often we hide from Him. If you don't remember anything about this message this morning, remember this. No one can stop you from walking with God but you. Church, are you walking with the Lord today? Are you searching for the truth today? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, we come to You asking forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we thank You for how You love us, how You've blessed us, how You show Yourself and reveal Yourself to us every single day. God, I pray that You would be with us this morning and You would help us to see ourselves right now as You see us. God, help us to have a desire to walk closer to You. Lord, if there's somebody in this church building this morning or somebody who's listening via live stream, Lord, who is still searching, that they haven't accepted You, let today be the day of salvation. Let them find You while You can still be found this morning. Pray that You would bless this time of invitation, Lord. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come down and spend some time with the Lord this morning? The altar's open for you. Will you come?